much. It's good to be back with you. It's been a couple of years. A lot of water under the bridge. I want to thank Sister Abby for changing my mind about what to preach. I was going in one direction when I came over here, and after learning that Sister Abby was going to be baptized, my mind went in another direction. And I really appreciate what Brother Gary said about her preaching the gospel. And we don't mean that she's going to be up here preaching the gospel, but how we live our lives is a witness of the gospel. I remember it, my ordination some years ago, was a deacon brother that came up to me afterwards and said, "Brother Ken, preach the gospel every chance you get, and if necessary, speak." And he meant there's a gospel to be lived.
Amen.
And if I were to give a title to my message this morning, it would be "Welcome to the Family." Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Family. Just in a, how preachers are, they got to get out what they have on their minds. There's a couple other passages that I think they'll connect to my efforts this morning. That just to remind us, there's a verse, you don't have to turn there, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19, the prophet there says, "Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The next verse, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And there's a colon there. I need to continue that sentence. "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the preacher has spoken it." Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't say that. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I don't know, the first time I looked over that recently, I thought most folks, they might read that verse and think that maybe Moses said that before they crossed Jordan into Jericho. Nope. Those words were spoken just a few years before Babylon was carried away into captivity. Interesting how long the Lord, how merciful the Lord is, and to what degree he allows us space to repent.
Amen.
And pray the Lord would bless us as a nation to do that. That's my national thoughts in the way of introduction. But there's another one that I found recently that just, it makes me, Brother Gary and I talked about this a little bit. He didn't have an answer for me, but no, that's okay. I often don't have an answer for him either. But I was amazed in Matthew chapter 13 after Jesus has finished several parables about the kingdom, which is what Sister Abby is joining herself to, that innermost kingdom, if you will. After he, in fact, the kingdom of heaven was pretty, Jesus was pretty, you might say he was obsessed with it. I wonder why. Well, him being the king and all, I guess he wanted those his subjects to be aware of it. But he gives these several good parables about the kingdom, what it's like. It's likened to. The kingdom is not leaven, but it's something about it that's like. It's not a net, but there's something about it. And at the end of those parables, not to go through all those, in verse 51 of Matthew chapter 13, "Jesus saith unto them," his disciples and others, "Have you understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord." And I was asking Brother Gary, "Do you really think they understood?" Brother Gary said, "I don't know, maybe not." And I said, "I don't know, maybe yeah." They were a lot closer to it. If anyone would have understood it best, hopefully it would have been them. Amen. But it's a question for us to ask ourselves, I think, at the end of every sermon we hear.
Yes.
Have you understood all these things? I might come back to that question at the end of my efforts this morning. One more thought I've got. This is not necessarily out of the scriptures itself, but it's something recently my son Noah sent to Brother Kevin, our pastor at Shiloh, Kevin Kennedy. Did y'all enjoy him when he came?
Oh, man, yeah.
Thank God for him.
Love it.
My son Noah sent a picture. It was he was at one of these little gift shops with his wife, and they were shopping for something, a gift, I think, gift shop. And Noah sent me a picture of this little, it's just a piece of wood with something written on it. There's a lot of that in gift shops today, right? And the expression was, all things are possible if you just believe. I wonder what verse did that come from? It didn't have a verse connected with it. There may be some version of the Bible where it's rendered that way. But I thought, and Noah's question to Kevin and I was, believe what? And what things? It matters what we believe. And I'd say to Sister Abby, thank you, darling, for being so willing to enter in to the kingdom. But also be willing to ask questions.
Oh, yes.
Brother Gary, he's not, I don't believe Brother Gary's going to purposely do you wrong, but if there's something that you don't understand, ask him. That's what he's there for.
Right.
All things are possible if you just believe. And it made me think about, wow, when I was younger, really on up until my early adult life, in my dreams, I thought I could fly. Y'all ever flown?
Sure.
I'm getting off into the edge here. Okay, I'm really not crazy, but in my dreams, I can remember being able to fly. And I'm not just trying to be funny, but in my mind, I could, there was some effort required. I had to move my hands a certain way. It wasn't serious flapping, but it was a rising up. And I never got higher than the trees, you know, but I could fly. But I would wake up and understand that was a dream. That wasn't real. All things are possible if you just believe. Oh, my friends, be careful. Be careful. Well, now, all that introduction, maybe this will connect. Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, Noah and his family get off the boat. And verse 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Colon. And just so you know, that was a family.
Amen. Come on now.
Matter of fact, it was the only family. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And if you've got a centerline Bible there, the word kinds can also be rendered families. I'm not talking this morning about bugs and animals.
Right.
I'm talking about people. And I just had the thought, can you imagine, just for a minute, can you imagine, I mean, again, Noah and his family, singular, when they first got off the ark. What was that like? Can you imagine? We sure you can. Think about it. Everything they knew before was gone. Literally, washed away. The governments of the world, they were gone. The mean people, they were gone. If there were Democrats or Republicans, they were gone too.
That's exactly right.
Say it. They were it, the family. I marvel at that. I really do. What those early years after, and again, I really do believe this happened, okay, the ark, all that. And it wasn't immediately that they were at the Tower of Babylon. Okay, a lot of time there passed. What were those early times like? With just your family. Well, family, good word. It's it literally means OED, got to quote OED. A body of persons who live in one house or under one head, including parents, children, and servants. Again, not the animals. Now, my grandmother had a milk cow that was just about part of the family, and she wept when that cow died. Okay, but it was a cow. Family. So family can have it can have reference to many things that relate people together. Their blood, okay? Noah's family, they were all related. Actually, they're related by blood. Noah, the three boys, but the others, the daughter-in-laws and his wife, were not the same bloodline, but they were related by marriage.
Absolutely.
I remember my grandfather had an expression when he would speak of brother. So-and-so that was his brother by law. He didn't call him brother-in-law. He was brother by law. And what he meant was his brother-in-law. And so family is, it can take in marriage, it can take in ethnicities, it can take in language. You know, there's a family of Hispanics that live down the road, they speak Spanish. There's a, you know, family can bring in certainly geography. You know, we've got some there in Georgia, up in North Georgia, up in the mountains, there's some mountain families. What do we mean by that? They're related. They're distinguishable. They're unique. It can also have reference to trades, to a guild, to occupation. Back home there, South Georgia, there's a group of Mennonite people down there. Love them to death. One of them, they're a family of roofers. That's all they do is roof houses. In fact, I think it was a group of Mennonites that helped brother, help me.
Jeff
up in Dawson Springs. Jeff Winfrey. Family. The word family in the Old Testament is way over 250 times. I lost count. Way over. But in the New Testament, it's just once. One time. Did you know that? Well, here's your Johnny Carson moment. I love them. I did not know that. They're in Ephesians chapter 3. I know you're familiar with the passage. Sister Abby makes me think about this, what she's doing today. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he's amazed that he has been blessed to be a minister of the gospel to the Gentiles. It blows his mind. You know why it did? Because he was a Jew. He was in a different family, so to speak. He was in a group of people and among a people that didn't have anything to do with that family, the Gentiles. But here Paul, as he's just amazed, let me read a little bit of this here. Verse 8, Ephesians chapter 3, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Notice he doesn't say this gift that's given, though I do think that good preaching is a gift, but he doesn't say that. He says grace, unmerited favor. Brother Gary, you're a good preacher, but you didn't deserve it. And I always remember when the preacher points, he's got 3 points back at him. Amen. To preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you know God is a God of purpose? I know you know that. Did you know that he has purposed that his people, better be careful here, know about him, Now, I'm not one of them absoluters who think that all of God's children are going to know all about... Can't go there. But in that kingdom way, in that family of God way, and that's where I'm going with all this. I just gave it all away. God desires the purpose of this place, the purpose of this gathering is to reveal Jesus Christ to God's people. Can I get that amen?
Amen to that. Come on.
Now, how long is that going to take? It's going to take more than 20 minutes. We will spend our lives learning about him. Guess what? We'll spend eternity too. I just really believe I'm going to learn more and more and more about our Lord. Anyhow, but I didn't get to my verse here. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And I know that's a rabbit that you can run there. We have faith because he gave it to us. Amen?
Mm-hmm. No question.
Well, I'll get a few more amens on that. Otherwise, where'd you get your faith, brother? Did you get it down at the Dollar General? Over to Walmart? Or at Leonard's Ace Hardware? No, our faith is a gift from the Spirit. Given to us, wherefore I desire, look at verse 13 here in Ephesians 3, wherefore I desire that ye faint not in my tribulation for you, which is for your glory. They were concerned about Paul, his condition, all that had happened to him. And talking about a man that was tested and measured for his efforts to preach the gospel, that was certainly the Apostle Paul. For this cause, verse 14, this is where I wanted to get, for this cause, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Doesn't say the church there, but the whole family. The whole family. When's the last time you had the whole family together? I like family reunions. We used to have a lot of them when I was a kid. It seems like my mother's people, they're dying out. The aunts and the uncles, there's only one left. My father's people didn't have a lot. But what wonderful times of reunion. What a blessing it is when the whole family is here together at Point Remove. Amen, Brother Gary? And when they're not, you miss them. Where's brother so-and-so? Where's sister so-and-so? Sister Abby? There'll be some folks, and forgive me, I don't mean to embarrass you in any way, but should you miss church for some reason in the future, I hope that folks are going to ask, where's Sister Abby?
That's right.
Why? She's part of the family.
That's exactly right.
She's supposed to be here. She needs to be here. It's good for her to be here. In the same way, what would be a family reunion without the family members? I tell you what it'd be. It'd be a memorial service. Wouldn't it? The whole family of earth and heaven and earth is named. Look. Again, this is the only time the word family is used in the New Testament. And Paul's desire is that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell is a good word. Look it up sometimes. It literally means to be at home. To be at home. To feel at home. Brother Gary will often tell me when I'm here, be at home, brother. Make yourself at home. What does he mean by that? Join in the family. Be part of us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. To what end? That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That's 4D, by the way. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge.
Unreal.
That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wonderful. That's why we're here.
That's right.
That's what Sister Abby has for to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
The family. So, I guess I should also read who wouldn't include Revelations chapter 5 and verse 9 and 10 there. And verse 9, they sung a new song. You know this one well. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. The word family is not used there because all of those things are types of families. Right? Family. Family. Again, the definition of a family is a body, a group of persons that live in one house or under one head. Now, my wife Leanne has this photograph in our bedroom. It's a family reunion of her mother's people, actually her mother and her father, both last name Daub, D-A-U-B. And there must be 200 people or more in this picture, one of these panoramic pictures of a family reunion. I'm sure they had a great day that day. But all of a sudden, I looked at that picture and I asked Leanne the other day, is there anyone in that picture still living? And the answer is no. One. They're all gone. Now their descendants are, you know, but that picture, that group, that wonderful reunion, they're all gone. But yet there was something that remained. Actually, it's failing in that place, and that was the church in front of which they took the picture.
Exactly.
Isn't it amazing how long has Point Remove been around? 1833. We're going to celebrate our bicentennial next summer, Lord willing, in a new fellowship hall, Lord willing.
Right.
But I've often wondered about that. All those that have gone before, there's a little bit of blood relation there. I've got some kinfolk buried there, but most of them are not.
Right.
They're related in another way.
Exactly right.
They're related through the gospel of Christ. So the question there, I guess, is can we still have this diversity that you see in the Old Testament? Again, those 250 times plus that I mentioned in the Old Testament, all kind of families, just family after family, a lot of different kinds. So the question is, can we have a body, a family in the New Testament church? And the answer is yes, so long as there's one head. Head is Jesus Christ. And again, this is not information you, or hopefully you're not unaware of this, but just to remind you, Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of Christ, who he is to the family, where to start. Same sort of language that I mentioned earlier. Paul desired that the people he preached to understand. Have you understand these things? Remember, Jesus himself asked that question. What did he do? Verse 16, I'll jump in there. He ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Isn't it sad that much of religion today is so occupied with the hereafter to the neglect of the here and now? But he goes on. He wanted that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that they were at that point. Now go on from there, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the earnest expectation, the goal of it, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul wanted those people to know about this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Matters what you believe. What?
Big time.
According to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in heavenly places. And I'm coming up on the verse I want. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that's in the world to come. He's not finished with the thought yet. He's still talking about who Christ is to us under the sun, and hath put all things under his feet.
Amen.
And gave him to be. I love that expression. Gave him to be. Doesn't mean he offered it somehow. He It gave means to impart. It means to make so.
Exactly.
To bring forth.
Amen.
Sister Sheila mentioned, forgive me for not remembering who it is, but that dear mother's going to give birth. Amen. Yeah. Gave him to be head over all things to the church,
yes,
which is his body. Can I say family? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Again, so much can be said. Later in the same book, Ephesians chapter 5, we're very familiar with this one, I hope. Paul, expressing what it is to be in the church, in the kingdom in that way. It requires a submission.
It does.
Family. I gotta be. I want to be light, but also to want to be serious too. Family. Boy, there's a lot that. Think about all the TV shows, sitcoms that revolve around the family. The Waltons. You know, as wonderful as that show was, they had their trouble. Troubles, yeah. And then there's All in the Family.
Oh, Archie. Oh, Archie.
What characters. Unbelievable. But how true. How real. That series, I mean, they dealt with a lot of issues. Father Knows Best. Remember that one? Leave it to Beaver? What do you expect to happen when you leave it to Beaver?
Exactly.
Mom and dad, all of those, mom and dad, children, mom and dad, children, mom and dad, children, family. And by the way, that's a mother, a female,
right,
and a dad. That's a male, yeah?
Exactly right.
Family, here in Ephesians 5. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own wives, to their own husbands, and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with washing of his water, his word, that he might present it to himself, glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. So ought to. It's Paul using, and by the way, folks, just because the world has messed it up doesn't mean that the truth is not still true.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Brother Gary and I have had this discussion. Some of you may know who Andrew Breitbart was. He died some years ago. And he coined this expression that politics is downstream of culture. Do you know what I mean by saying that? All the craziness that you see going on in Washington now, the decisions that are being made is because of the culture from which those representatives come.
Exactly
right?
Exactly.
But there's another step involved there too.
Right.
Culture is downstream of religion.
Exactly right.
Ouchie.
Ouchie, right.
Ouchie, ouchie. Politics downstream of culture, culture downstream of religion. It's a fact. But just because the culture has corrupted itself, and and the result is that the politics has corrupted itself, well, there's evidence. Well, there's been dilution and pollution in religion, but that doesn't mean that the truth is somehow non-existent. We still have it. It's still true. The question is, to what degree are we able to pursue it and embrace it and recover it even?
Amen. Absolutely.
The family. I remember the first time I heard that man preach. It was in Big Creek Church, the Little River Association, and the title of his sermon was Circle the Wagons.
Oh, yeah.
He probably preached it here. If he was a good preacher, he did. You remember that, Brother Harold? You probably preached that a lot. Why? Wonderful sermon. Needful. Circle the wagons. And at the time, he was saying, well, we need to take care of families. This world is tearing them apart.
Amen.
Sister Abby, hang in there, girl. Stay with the church.
Right.
Stay with the wagon train.
Amen.
It's a journey. It really is. Colossians 1, again, we're just talking, looking at verses that have to do with Christ being the head of his family and the church way. Verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, for by him, Jesus, were all things created. I love this. Have you understood all these things? I didn't even want to ask that question. This is so, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Is he anywhere else? Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Talking about a sovereignty verse. All things were created by him and for him.
Amen.
And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Is it any wonder then that Paul would continue to say, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Please, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Wow.
I want to be in that family. I want to hang around that crowd. I'm telling myself a little bit, but back when I was in high school and I was sparking around with this little lady, and the first time I go over to their house to meet the family. Anybody ever been there?
Sure.
Oh man, I hope y'all like me. Because I like her. I hope y'all like me. As it turned out, I wound up liking the family more than I did the girl. We're still great friends until this day. But I love the family. Why is that? Well, there was something in me and my background that connected with them. There was a likeness that I wanted to be a part of. I'm so thankful for Sister Abby for just that simple profession of faith. I want to be a part. Church, y'all make sure she is.
Amen.
The head. The head means the top. It's the source of authority. It's the power. It's the life. It's the control. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe. Verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I like the way Paul put that. He wanted them to make sure that they were following who he was following, not him alone.
Amen.
If y'all ever start following this fella alone,
no.
Be careful.
No.
Hopefully, if you do, it'll be a big circle to come back where you were. No. Follow him as he follows Christ. Be ye followers even of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. But I would have you know, it's almost like this is more important. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Amen.
Head of the woman is the man, and the head of the Christ is God. There is a order.
That's right.
We don't serve a God of disorder.
Amen.
We don't serve a God of chaos. You don't have to walk around long in this world with spiritual eyes and see that. I am amazed. The hand of God.
Yes.
Colossians 2, back to Colossians. Let me go back there for a minute. Colossians 2. Paul. Just kind of ringing that bell about stay with it. Stay in there.
Exactly.
Verse 6, Colossians 2, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Christ? I almost wish I could ask the question and get some answers. How did you receive him? Hopefully it was willingly. I don't think there's really any other true way. Paul says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. So our walk with the Lord ought to be in the same kind of way as our receiving him. You're it. I know. I believe. I trust.
Yes, yes, yes.
And therefore I walk.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Oh, yes.
Now, do I do it every day? Uh-uh. I wish I did. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Oh, yeah.
Who shall deliver? I'm flagellating here. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But look at this. It goes on. Rooted and built up in him. What does mom and daddy do in the home for the family? Well, hopefully it's to build up and support and strengthen and furnish and feed and sustain. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, us abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any men spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Isn't that where we are today? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. Look at this. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Amazing.
And it goes on. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. I like that. I like that. Without a head, the body dies.
Absolutely.
Amen. Maybe that's why Jesus would say there towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm paraphrasing it, but you cannot serve God and mammon. Kind of like a two-headed snake. You can't do both. So, a true family. It's more than blood relation. I love there in John chapter 1, verse 12. You know, he came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even those which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God.
Amen.
A family. Where there's a family, there's structure, and there's discipline. I know I'm running short of time here. I'm going to get them quick. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul says, verse 14, these things write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know us how thou oughtest to behave thy house, thyself in the house of God. I mean, how many of us is kids, all of us, you know, don't you be running in the house. You take your shoes off. Wipe your feet. We don't live in a barn. It's the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Family is a place of structure and discipline. It's a place of unity and purpose. I've already read that one from Ephesians 4. It's a place where there's love and honor. Thy father and thy mother.
Oh, yes.
It's a place where there's provision and nourishment. 1 Peter, very familiar there. Running out of time. Peter says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. Sounds like siblings in a family. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's safety and protection. Oh, there's a world of psalms that speak of the house of the Lord being a place of safety, protection. His refuge, he's our rock. It's a place of procreation and growth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's see. Peter closes the very book by saying, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever. The Lord's church is a place that fills or should fill all the voids of a family. There's not a perfect family. Anybody in the house want to raise your hand and say, we got a perfect family? Anybody? I sure won't raise mine. But the Lord's kingdom, his church, that part of the kingdom, the Lord's church is a place that should fill all those voids.
Oh, yes.
Divorce, broken marriage, Christ is our husband.
That's right.
We're you're the bride.
Absolutely.
Fatherless, motherless, Christ is one with the Father. The church is the mother of us all. Neglected, used. What did Jesus say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What about carnal addictions?
Yeah.
Christ is all we need.
Right.
And the truth will set us free.
Oh.
The local church, I believe, is an expression of our membership in the family of God in that most intimate way. And if you've been born into that family of God, today is the day you need to declare it, just like Sister Abby.
That's exactly right.
I don't know the hearts and minds of anyone here, but if there's someone here that's been thinking about joining the church, the water is ready.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what you've got on, your clothes. We'll fix you up. Or Gary will fix you up, I sure. But today,